Your Bible and turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and you probably won't need a Bible for this. We'll even have it up on the screen for you. But I dare say that anybody in the room would have need of a Bible when it comes to Psalm 23. We've heard this quoted and read at funeral services and all of that kind of thing. But can I say this? Psalm 23 is more than just something that we read at the funeral home. Psalm 23 is something more than we just read during the times of that we need comfort. Psalm 23 is filled with a lot of good information. This is what I want to do. If you want to read along with me, I would encourage you to do so. Psalm 23. And verse number 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the church said, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, God, that we have a copy of the perfect, infallible, inspired Word of God. I pray, Lord, that as God, as we bring some truths and thoughts out today, Lord, that you would get it out like you put it in. And I pray, Lord, we would be able to be encouraged and uplifted when we leave this place today. And I pray that if somebody in here on the sound of my voice, watching somewhere on the internet, wherever it might be, Lord, that they don't know you like we do. If they don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray they won't be able to go a step further until they fall down on their knees and ask you to come in their heart and save them. I pray that, Lord, now in Jesus' name and all of God's people said, amen. Here in Psalm 23, very familiar portion of Scripture. You know it. You probably heard sermons preached from Psalm 23. But here's something I want to address to you here this morning. Psalm 23 is tucked in between two other psalms. Psalm 22 and verse 1, you'll hear these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That speaks of Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 and about verse number 8 or 9 talks about the Lord and the King of glory that shall come. That's talking about Mount Zion. So in Psalm 22, you have Mount Calvary. In Psalm 24, you have Mount Zion. And tucked in between those two mountains, you have Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's good to be on the mountaintop. It's good to be up on the mountaintop in glory and bask in the sunlight. But my friend, roses don't grow on the mountaintop. Crops don't grow on the mountaintop. It takes a valley, ladies and gentlemen, and that's where we live. We live in between Mount Calvary and Mount Zion, and yes, we're going to go through a valley. If you're not in a valley this morning, you will be sometime or another, or you just got out of one. But the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You say, a preacher is, what is this all about? Well, if you'll look on your screen, there it's a real place. The valley of the shadow of death is near Jericho. And this is what they call the valley of the shadow of death. It's a V-shaped, 2,600 feet up on both sides, and it comes down in a V like this in the valley. That means that the only sun that the valley gets, if the sun is right over, if the sun is to the right or to the left, it casts shadows down in that valley. And this is where David was. Now, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, it didn't look like this. It was very tropical. It had lions and tigers and bears. Come on. Well, I was just seeing if you were paying attention. But in David's day, there were lions. As a matter of fact, David, remember, he killed a lion. He killed a bear and all these kinds of things in this valley. Well, if you'll notice that where the sun is shining, you'll see it cast a shadow down in the midst of that valley. And what happens is when... And my headset wasn't working today. It's a lot of staticky, so you just pray for us, all right? But down in that valley is where David would write that psalm, and it would get very scary down in that valley because of the shadow. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, shadow has never killed anybody? It may make you harm yourself, but a shadow has never hurt anybody. So what happens is these sheep, sometimes they wander off. These sheep are wandering off, and they're going down here and there, and they're in those shadows, and there's lions and tigers and bears and all this kind of thing lying wait in those shadows to pick off a straggler that comes through there. One of the sheep that's not following like they should. One sheep that may miss a time or two. And in the shadows there are the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so he's walking down through there and he's looking for a straggler, somebody ain't paying attention to the shepherd. And he'll pick those off. And that's what the devil is looking for. And there's another picture of it, if you will. And I'm just doing this so you get an idea. This is a real, genuine place. In the Jezreel, over there near Jericho. And it cast those shadows like what you're seeing there. But in Psalm 22, we see the shepherd's cross. In Psalm 23, we see the shepherd's crook. The shepherd's crook is something that the shepherd would use when he was ministering to the sheep. And then in Psalm 24, we see the shepherd's crown. So in 22, you see the cross. You see the crook in 23. And then in 24, we see a crown. All this is in the psalm here. Now the Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice that the staff is what the shepherd would use for the sheep. And the rod was something that the shepherd would use as a defense against any predators. Against the sheep, that was a thicker stick. Well, sometimes they'd find a little tree knot on the top of it, and they would be able to ward off all of the defense. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sheep don't have any defense mechanism. A bear has claws, lions have claws, eagles have claws, snakes have fangs, but a sheep, has no defense of his own. Sheep are bought. You'll never find a wild sheep. You will never find a wild sheep. You'll find a wild goat. You say, does churches have goats?
Yes.
Every church has goats in it. Every time the preacher brings up something, but preacher. Every butt, that's what goats do, they headbutt. Every kind of preacher, but preacher, that won't never work. You done got yourself a goat. But a sheep, you won't never find wild sheep. Sheep, when you find one, they belong to somebody. They've been purchased by somebody. They are owned by somebody. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. And so that shepherd would take that staff, and those sheep would wander off down in those cracks and the crevices of that valley. And he would find one, and he would look, and he said, well, I've lost one. And he would find one down in the thicket. Down in the thicket, he would turn that thing upside down, and then he would reach down and get him from up under the leg, the front of that body, and pull up. Aren't you glad for the day that sheep couldn't get to the shepherd, but the shepherd got to the sheep? The sheep couldn't get to the
the shepherd. The sheep couldn't get back home, couldn't find his way back home. But the shepherd, ladies and gentlemen, came to where he was. I think the Bible says something like this: I waited patiently to the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He picked me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on solid rock, established my going, put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Isn't that something? That's what the shepherd would do for you. He would pick them up and put them back in their proper place. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know something I found out about sheep? Don't get offended too bad. But what I found out about sheep is sheep are not that intelligent. Sheep are not that intelligent. I'm trying to refrain from saying dumb, but sheep, for the most part, are pretty dumb. I mean, you give them food and water. You give them food, good green grass and water from the Word, and they'll wander off to the lake on Sunday. Oh, we come to preach this morning, didn't we? I mean, they wander off. I think the Bible says something like this: prone to wander. Sheep wander off. They can't find their way back. And the only way they can get back is if the shepherd comes and gets them. The shepherd ain't being nosy. The shepherd ain't trying to get in the sheep's business. But the shepherd loves the sheep. Say, hey, where are you? I need to see you. You've got to have this green grass. You've got to have this water to grow. You ain't going to leave out there by yourself. Amen. You say, I don't need the church. I don't need all of it. You need it more than you think you do. Unless you're a goat. And a goat can live on rocks. A goat can feed on fish row and be just fine. But a sheep has to have good grain pasture. And the only one that can lead you is the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. These sheep, now they can't find. Now, you turn a sheep loose and he can't find his way back home. Now, a dog is not that way. You know, a dog, we did this one time in Atwood when I was pastoring there, and Atwood had this, people always lived in the parsonage at that time, right there by the church, and people would drop dogs and stuff off, right there in the corner, and I don't know why, but people would drop their dogs off right there. And so what I would do, I would return the favor, and there would be some church members I didn't like, and I would take and drop them off at their house. Like the Bible tells you to do. And so I told the dog one time, I said, look, I'm going to take this dog off. And I'm taking this dog off somebody, I'm dropping him off. I dropped that dog off and called, and I said, dog, is that dog back in the house? He said, yep, sure is, sitting right here on the front porch. Beat me back to the house. I said, well, that ain't going to happen no more. I took that dog and I took him way off in the boonies somewhere. And I was headed back to the house, called dog. I said, dog, is that dog? Yep, he's sitting right here on the front porch. I said, I guarantee you that won't happen again. And I told him, I went plumb. I went way on back in the swamps. Throw that dog off. I was trying to get back home. I called dog. I said, dog, is that dog back? He said, yep, sitting right there on the front porch. I said, put him on the phone. I'm lost. Now, that didn't happen. But anyway, some of you look like you needed to laugh. A dog will do that. But a sheep can't find his way back home. Their vision is blurred. They can't see but about 25 or 30 feet in front of them. And so the Bible says something like this. My sheep, John 10 says, my sheep know my voice. And so what the shepherd would do with his staff,
is all along those rocks and different things. Every now and then that shepherd would tap that rock. And as he walked, he'd make a noise. And if she could hear that, and they would know where to go. They couldn't see, but they could hear the voice of the shepherd. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, I studied sheep one time, and somebody told me one time, said, before you start pastoring people, you need to herd sheep. You need to raise sheep for about 3 or 4 years before you start pastoring people. I wish I'd have listened to that advice. But I was talking to some sheep herders, and there was about 3 or 4 groups of sheep all upon this ravine here, and they had green. They said all of them was just mingled together, and they were out there eating and grazing, whatever. Well, there was 3 or 4 shepherds over here, and they was eating their lunch. And I got to wondering. I said, "Now, how in the world are they going to figure out what sheep belongs to who?" And so one of the sheepherders said, "Just hang on, we'll finish your lunch, we'll show you." They got finished with their lunch, and one of the shepherds went to the edge of that hill and said, "Woo, woo, woo, woo!" And then the sheep right there, they did it. Just some of them did it. And took off and headed toward that man. The rest of them stood up for me. Then that other shepherd got up and he made some other different look call. I ain't going to try to do it because y'all laughed at the last one. And he made some little different call. And only them sheep. Here they took off. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says, "My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow." And if you know the voice of the shepherd, you won't have trouble following a stranger. And the devil won't have trouble tempting you because you know the voice of the shepherd. That's why it's so important to know his voice. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? You got any examples of that?" I sure do. John chapter number 11, Lazarus is dead. He's been dead 4 days. And the Bible says he's dead. I know some folks named Lazarus. And Jesus said this, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, guess what? My sheep know my voice, and Lazarus knew that that was the shepherd, and he knew when to come forth. Y'all remember another one over there in John, the last chapter of John, where Jesus has resurrected from the dead. Mary comes to the tomb looking, and she sees Jesus, but she thinks he's a gardener. And she says, "Where have you put him? Just tell me, and we'll get him and take him away." And Jesus says, "Mary." And she said, "Master, my sheep know my voice." He said, "A bunch of people call me Mary, but ain't nobody call me Mary like he called me Mary. Because when he called me Mary, I knew it was the Savior." The sheep know his voice. But these sheep, we've already mentioned their blurred eyesight. And all of these different kinds of things that these sheep, they wander off. And I studied this about the sheep, and I found out that this to be true, that every now and then, matter of fact, I have a picture of a sheepfold. And this is a sheepfold where they herd sheep in the middle of that thing, and they keep them in for the night. But I want you to notice something. There's no door on that thing. There's no door to keep the sheep in or any enemies from getting in. And I found out that the shepherd is the door. The shepherd at night would lay in that doorway so nobody gets in unless you come through the shepherd. Nobody gets out unless you go through the shepherd. You say, "Preacher, I wonder if I think I lost my salvation." If you didn't go through the shepherd to lose it. And he ain't going to let you lose it because Jude says he keeps me from falling. Ooh, stay in your seat, don't get excited. But can you imagine this shepherd laying over that door? I think John chapter number 10, I forgot what verse, but Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens is every night when this shepherd comes in and brings the sheep in from eating and grazing and watering, he counts. He says 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. I got one missing. No matter what time it is, no matter how long it takes, no matter how long it takes, the shepherd goes after the one. And he goes and finds, and he says, and finally, after 2 or 3 hours of searching, he said, what are you doing down there? You done got all muddy and dirty. Yeah, get back up here where you're supposed to go.
Amen.
Then he'd put them on top of his shoulders and bring them on in to the sheepfold. And then lay down and go to sleep. But it wouldn't be about a night or two and maybe 3 or 4 nights. He's counting again. 98. 99. That sheep is hard-headed. Y'all don't know any hard-headed sheep, do you? Y'all don't look to your don't look at your husband. And he goes, and I'm done. At this time, he finds him way off. Now he done got up in a thicket. He's done got thorns. He's got little bruises and stuff all over top of it. He picks him up. His little head's a little bleeding because he's got his head caught in the thicket. You know what that Psalm 23 said? Thou anointest my head with oil. You know what that shepherd would do? He'd open his coat and he'd get that oil out and he'd pour it on and he'd put it on his head and rub all them wounds on his head. Why? Because that shepherd loves the sheep. He goes and picks him, puts him on his shoulder. Brings him on in. Can I say this? Let me give you this. I gotta give you this for just 1 second. I gotta give you this. Over there in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. You want to turn there, but Isaiah 9 6, and we'll tell you what it says. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Shoulder. One. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sits on the throne of his father David, will have the whole world, the whole government, on one shoulder. That's a pretty big God. But in Luke 15, he says the shepherd goes and finds that one and puts him on his shoulders. Plural. Now I know y'all didn't get that like I just got it, because I'm feeling a little Pentecostal and I'm Baptist to the bone, but I'm feeling a little Pentecostal on that. He gives the whole world, the government, one shoulder, but he gives the sheep both of them. And brings them on home. Did you know one night or two later, 97, 98, 99, I'm about to go out again. But this time, not only gets his staff, he gets oil, 2 splints, and some rack. Puts in his coat. And he goes out this time. Now pay attention from here. He finds him. He picks him up. And he takes that sheep. And he puts him under his arm like this. His head sticking out the front facing y'all. And he puts his 2 front paws in his front hand there. Puts that sheep on it. And pulls him front 2 legs as tight as he can get it. He takes his staff. And comes across in 2 legs and breaks both of his front legs. That sheep bleeds real loud, starts crying. Lord, you're trying to kill me. Lord, what are you doing to me? I never thought you'd hurt me like that. But what the sheep don't realize is there's only so many times that he can leave the 99 unattended to come after. Sometimes he has to make a point. Sometimes there's discipline involved. And he'll take those broke legs and he'll put that oil on them, rub them down. He'll put two splints, wrap them things up real tight. And this time the sheep can't walk, obviously. But in the shepherd's coat, there's a piece of cloth sewn into that thing to where it's got a hole in the front, a hole in the back. You put his back leg in the back hole, and then front broke legs that come out the front like this, and his little head's like here, and that shepherd coat pulls it real tight like this. And for the first time, the sheep has been so close to the shepherd. This time he hears something that he's never heard before. This time the sheep hears the heartbeat of the shepherd. He's never been that close before. This time when he comes into the sheepfold at night, used to the other nights he would hear the wolves howling. And he would hear all the different things it was trying to get into him. But this time he sleeps with the shepherds. This time he hears the shepherd singing in the middle of the night. It drowns out everything. And he never would have known the heartbeat of the shepherd unless his legs had been broken. God uses broken people. And sometimes people that have been through broken places, they hear and they can see and they can feel the presence of a holy God more so than they've ever heard before. Because tonight, the sheep knows the shepherd loves him. No doubt. See, the shepherd can't just let you do and do and what you want to do and run off and go here, there, and yonder. Sometimes the shepherd, you say, preacher, why am I having to go through whatever I'm going through? Well, sometimes those storms are for perfection, to make you better. But sometimes those storms are correction. Didn't your dad do the same thing? Didn't your mom do the same thing? Why? Because they love you enough to tell you right and wrong. Amen. That shepherd loves those sheep enough. I'll be honest, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind this morning. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind. The shepherd loves the sheep. He anoints that head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over this morning, knowing that God has been really good. God's been really, really good to me. God's been really, really good to you. Better to us than we deserve. Would you not agree?